I'd ask you to please turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 25. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 25, that is page 1399. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 25. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. And the subject upon my mind this afternoon to bring before you is the subject of heaven, the subject of heaven. Heaven is a holy, happy, eternally enduring place. God, who cannot lie, has promised all those this evening and throughout the world who repent of their sin and put their trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, and follow him as the Lord of their life. This is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. This poor world is full of sin and sorrow and pain and death. And if we had hope in this world only, in this life only, we would of all men be most miserable. But for the Christian, those that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, we have an unfailing hope. We are walking, we are pilgrims, we are on a journey to a holier, happier, infinitely better world than this. And this hope can support us in every scene of earthly conflict and distress, as the sailor tossed by the storm and a tempest hopes to gain the desired haven to dock the ship as they are out on that storm. The one thing they're looking forward to, if that storm is going to continue, that is the safe haven, if only we could get into the dock. I remember once we went on a ferry and we were travelling back from Calais to Dover and it was quite windy. I remember thinking, it'll be all right once we get into Dover. Once we get into the harbour walls, then everything will be calm again. And so it was. And so the Christian is looking forward to heaven. And as the traveller, fatigued by the journey, hopes to reach his own beloved home. You know what it is like. We're on a long journey. We're traveling home. And we just want to get to bed. We just want to have a cup of coffee and or whatever it is, our supper drink. And we just want to get to bed and lay down a tired and weary head. Well, as the soldier, stressed by conflict and danger in the field of battle, they hope to return home safely. So the Christian pilgrim, in the midst of their strenuous labors, trusts in God that they will brave all the storms of life, finish their course, having fought the good fight of faith, and they will lay hold on eternal life in the Father's house above. Well, whereas a natural hope is uncertain, Christian hope is certain. Christian hope is certain. This is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. This is God's promise. And God's promises will never fail. The other morning, I looked out of my study window and saw a beautiful rainbow. And the rainbow is God's message to us. It reminds us that God's word never fails. There will be seed time and harvest. God is faithful to his word. God is faithful to his promises. And God is faithful to this promise. And he has promised eternal life. So the Christian hope is certain. Christian believers will certainly enjoy eternal life in heaven as the residence of the ever-blessed God. This is God's home. This is God's residence. And we will dwell in God's palace of splendor, the habitation of his holiness, completely separate from sin. There is nothing that defiles can ever enter in. Heaven is a place of absolute purity, absolute holiness, the place where God's honor dwells. It is the dwelling place of the angels. It is the dwelling place of the perfected spirits. It is the dwelling place of God's people. And there's coming a time when God will make a new heavens and a new earth. And all of the Lord's people will be given glorified bodies, and they will dwell forever in the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Heaven is a place of inexpressible blessing. It is described in the Bible as a paradise from God. A paradise from God. It is described as a building from God. Actually, Jesus described it as mansions, a mansion of God. It is described as a heavenly city. It's described as a better country. It's described as a priceless inheritance, an eternal kingdom, an unfading crown of glory, peace and rest and joy in the Lord. But then heaven will be a life of complete purity. Sin is the great source of our estrangement from God. Sin is that which constantly vexes and distresses the soul. But in heaven, sin can never enter to defile. If we look at Revelation and chapter 21, and verse 27. But there shall by no means enter into it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And we shall be faultless in heaven. We will enjoy perfect communion with God in heaven. We will be like him in holiness and purity. If we look at the letter of Jude, if you turn to the letter of Jude, just one on from the epistles of John, and you read Jude 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and for ever. We are presented perfect in the very righteousness of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, as though we have never sinned. As we read in 1 John, in that chapter in 1 John 5, as though we've never sinned, we cannot sin. Because once we're viewed in Christ Jesus, we're absolutely perfect in Christ. We're justified by faith in him. We're pure in him. And we're presented perfect in him. And when we come to the end of our lives, we might have this picture where the Lord Jesus Christ will bring us to the God the Father and say, "This is another child, redeemed by my precious blood," and the Father will be in his very presence, and we will be holy and without sin, and we'll be completely pure because of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know this? Well, if you turn with me to Ephesians and chapter 5, Ephesians and chapter 5 and verse 26, this is speaking about Christ loving the church and giving himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Isn't this a wonderful thing? We muddle along together sometimes as the Lord's people, and we long for heaven. But there's coming a time, friends, when we'll be purified absolutely in Christ Jesus, and there'll be no more pain and no more suffering and no more tears. And you know, this is not just the New Testament that is teaching these wonderful truths. The psalmist also looked forward by faith to the Messiah and to see what he would be like in Christ Jesus in glory. If you turn to Psalm 17 and verse 15. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Psalm 17 and verse 15. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness, with your likeness. The very likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The very image of Jesus Christ. And then if we look at 1 John, and this is the one reference more, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, that is Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has his hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Heaven will be a life of complete purity. It will be a place of incomparable, inexpressible blessing. But thirdly, heaven will be a life of perfect happiness. Perfect happiness. This is his promise, eternal life. Because of evil, there is no perfect happiness in this poor world. There is no sure stability in this world. Life here is like the fluctuations of the sea or the weather. There are calms and there are storms. There are sunshines and there is cloud and there is rain. But all the causes of evil will be no more in heaven. Sin shall distress us no more. Satan shall tempt us no more. Sickness shall pain us no more. The devil, the tyrant, shall oppress us no more. Death shall bereave and destroy no more. And so we read in Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 7, and in verse 16, they shall neither hunger any more, nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Heaven will be a place and a life of perfect fulfillment. There will be complete emancipation of the mind. The limitations we have of the mind now will be gone. There'll be complete emancipation to receive the wonderful truths of God and his word, and we'll be constantly growing in heaven, constantly absorbing the wonders of the truth of God and the glory of God. Heaven, fourthly, will be a life of the greatest honor. There'll be pure dignity in heaven. The Lord's people are despised in this day and age. They are mocked. They're despised. They're persecuted. But in heaven there will be pure dignity. We are children of God's kingdom, kings and priests. Nobody will be despised in heaven. Nobody will be better than another. All will be honored as redeemed children of God's kingdom, all precious in God's sight. It will be a life of honor which conquerors obtain. This is the crown of victory that we which are being reserved for the Lord's people. Everlasting joy shall be on their heads. There will be a crown of joy which shall not be taken away from us, dear friends. It's everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and we will enter into the victory of our Lord, who replaced the crown of thorns with a crown of glory. And some of you here this evening may be saying, well, how can I be sure that I will get to this wonderful place, heaven? Well, the only way any one of us can get to heaven and have this wonderful crown of glory is because the Lord Jesus Christ wore a crown of thorns. He took upon himself our shame, our sin, our guilt. He took it upon himself, symbolized by that crown of thorns, and went to Calvary's cross. And there he suffered, bled and died, that we might have a crown of glory. But the Son of God made man went to Calvary with a crown of thorns on his head, that we might have a crown of glory. And we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And this crown, this great dignity, holy dignity, which will be given to all of the Lord's people, is an incorruptible crown. You know, when we go to places like India and Sri Lanka, it is their custom to give you a garland. So every time, that's the way they greet you. So you get there and they put this garland on you. And it's just a cultural thing. And you are very polite, say thank you very much. But it's very hot. And within very little while, the petals start coming off. And it's a fading laurel. But it's not like that in glory. We look at people this day and age, and they are, we see on the news and in the media, people are striving for a corruptible crown. But we're not striving for that. We're striving for an incorruptible crown, something that doesn't fade away. And no length of time will terminate the dominion of the saints or tarnish the luster of their crowns. They will reign for ever and ever. It is called the crown of righteousness. If we turn back to 2 Timothy, and 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul is coming to the end of his life. And he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And in 2 Timothy 4:8 he says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who love his appearing. Everyone will have, of the Lord's people who trust in him, will have this crown of righteousness. What a crown that will be. The very righteousness of Jesus Christ. Oh, the glorious person of Jesus Christ, his righteousness. A crown of righteousness. It was purchased by the very righteousness of Christ, and it is given wholly for his sake to his redeemed people. It is also, though, not only a crown of righteousness, but it is a crown of life. It means that we will never die in heaven. One of the significant things about heaven is that there is no more death there. We are surrounded with that in time, but in eternity, in heaven, there will be no more death. We will receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that loved him. And again, earlier on in the book of Revelation, this is a promise to those that are faithful, even unto death, that they will be given a crown of life. But then fifthly, as we come towards conclusion, heaven will be a life of rich enjoyment. In Scripture, heaven is represented as a feast. And many will come in this picture we're given from the east and from the west, and they will take their places at this wonderful feast. And heaven is represented as a marriage supper. And blessed are those who have been invited to the wedding supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And heaven is represented then as a life of enjoyment in the best society, the best fellowship. Oh, there will be no lost words in heaven. There will only be perfect communion. The triune God is there with the angels and the glorified people of God. Heaven is represented as the place of perfect fulfillment, where we will have unhindered communion with God. No more distractions. And we will understand the mystery of creation. This is a wonderful thing. When we get to heaven, we will understand how God created the heavens and the earth. We will understand about God's providences. We will understand about the wonders of grace. We will understand, we'll be given an understanding, because our minds will be liberated, as I said earlier. And the enraptured soul will exclaim, "You have done all things well." But then, the sixth thing about heaven, it is the home of God. Here in our world, God reveals his wisdom, his love, his justice, his power, his goodness, his providential faithfulness, his precious salvation in Jesus Christ. He's given us his word. But in heaven, being God's home is where the ultimate fulfillment comes. Because there, the fullness of God's being will be perfectly expressed to us. You see, humanly speaking, is where you get to know who a person really is. That's why someone will say, if they want to know what a person is like, they will say, if you've got a very close friend, well, ask so-and-so, they know him very well. Or if you're a person, they ask their mother or their father, or ask their husband or their wife, or it might be something like that. They are the ones that really know us. We get to know a person, what a person really is like in their home. Primarily in the home is what we're really like. So in perfect terms, heaven is the place where people get to know what God is really like. Because it's God's home. It's where he is. And we will enter into the perfection of his presence and spend an eternity worshipping, serving, enjoying and exploring the wonders of God's being, the wonders of his character. You see, God is an infinite being. And so therefore in heaven, there will never be an end to the discovery of God. We will be in perfect fellowship with him. While it is true, with God there is no place out of limits, but God's all-seeing knowledge, where the psalmist said, "If I was to make my bed in hell, thou art there." I can't escape from God in that sense. But heaven is his home. Heaven is the dwelling place of God. The psalmist David described it beautifully, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's house. And then the Lord Jesus instructs us to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." But then, heaven is the place where we will see Jesus as he is. We will see him as he is. You remember the testimony of Stephen, just before he was being stoned to death. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And what happens to a person full of the Holy Spirit? Who do they see? They see Jesus. He, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He saw Jesus, and he went into the very presence of Jesus. Jesus was waiting for him on the very throne of God to receive him into glory. And he spoke to Jesus and he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And Lord, do not lay this sin to their charge. He was forgiven, even right at that last stone that hit Stephen before he uttered his last breath. He said, Lord, this was his last prayer. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Heaven is the place where we will see Jesus as he is. But then, heaven is eternal. It's called eternal life. The everlasting kingdom, the incorruptible kingdom, the exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, in conclusion this evening, right at the end of the book of Revelation, there is a very searching verse in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27. But there shall by no means enter into it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are those that acknowledge before God that they have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But by God's wonderful work of the Spirit within their life, they have repented of their sin sincerely, and they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is an evidence that they are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is the book of Jesus, the book of life in Jesus Christ, the Lamb's Book of Life, all those to whom the Lord Jesus Christ died for. And so we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a text in Revelation that says, who have the right to enter heaven. Do we have the right to enter heaven? Not by nature, we don't. Someone said to me on Friday afternoon, later on in the afternoon, they said to me, well, this person cares so nicely. Surely God will look at that person, and even though that person does this and that, the person cares so nicely that they will surely be accepted into heaven. And this was this gentleman's question. Surely this person will go to heaven because they care so much. Well, if that care is a manifestation of that person's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a fruit of faith, well, there is something very blessed about that. But we have to understand that there are many, many people in this world that care and yet rebel against God. And the great thing for us this evening is that we are not saved by works. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone. That is our way. That is the only way. An entrance into heaven is totally dependent upon God's grace and love and power and salvation. And God has provided for us the way this evening. He has provided us the door in the very person of Jesus Christ. He has provided us the way whereby we can walk into heaven. Jesus is, as it were, not only the door, he's the way, the entrance into heaven. And he has provided for us the way wherein we can flee from the wrath to come and the wrath to come and the dreadful day of judgment. Are our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because in this Lamb's Book of Life are registered everyone who has repented of their sin and put their trust in Christ and are following him. You see, every time a person is saved, there's rejoicing in heaven. Not only with the angels, but in the very throne room of God. There's a joy, a holy joy. That person's name is confirmed in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, we find that actually it's an eternal book. But on conversion, it's like it's underlined, that person is saved. It's like the stamp of authority on that person's, from God, on that person's name. It's written there in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there are three headings, we might say, in the Lamb's Book of Life. That this person, it is confirmed that this person has repented of their sin. They have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are following him as the Lord of their life. These are the evidences of grace, of faith, of salvation, and the evidences that our names are actually written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the ultimate end of every one of the Lord's people, everyone who truly believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, is this wonderful place of heaven, this wonderful place of glory. And this is God's promise this evening to all those who truly trust in him. This is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life, eternal life.